I feel like you don't actually talk like that.
I do. I mean, those are my real thoughts on Drag Race. I think that the lane for, like, creepy queens doesn't exist on Drag Race anymore. I truly believe if Sharon Needles went back on Drag Race, she wouldn't win.
I don't think that Drag Race has ruined drag just for the fact that it's made drag so mainstream and so broad now that it's become more accessible to people. So in that way, it's kind of improved drag.
But I think that even when queens go on Drag Race, I mean, we saw, like I said with Crystal Method, like, they push this, like, femme queen look, and they call the queens that don't look like that, like, ugly. Like, Michelle was like, I want to see what you'll look like without all of that, like, extra makeup. I want to see what you look like pretty. And then Crystal did the next episode, and Michelle was like, oh my god, you look gorgeous. And Crystal just made herself look more like a woman or whatever, like a cisgendered woman. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, it's literally like, if you don't change your makeup for the way that the judges want you to look, they're gonna send you home. They're gonna clock you for it.
I think it'll all change when RuPaul stops wearing gowns every time she comes out. RuPaul just needs to come out one time in a dress, but completely bald-headed.
Or pants.
That'll be like a drag revolution. Or just come out in pants, yeah, a pantsuit.
Like when Milk... Do you remember the RuPaul challenge and Milk came out as boy RuPaul?
Yeah.
And then they hated it. Yeah. Like, why?
It's making drag into, like, a monolith. I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. But I think some queens are just bad. Like, Aiden Zane. Aiden Zane is kind of, like, the creepy... That kind of, like, creepy, ghouly kind of drag a little bit. But on Drag Race, she was just bad.
I don't know who Aiden Zane is.
She was the one... Who was fighting with Britta all the time.
Britta had a big mouth.
I don't like Britta. I don't like Britta.
Oh, Aiden Zane was ugly. I remember her now. She was spooky.
Yeah. And I think that another, like, weird aesthetic that queens always go for is all of them are like, I'm obsessed with old Hollywood glamour. And I just love the 1920s.
Well, they're gay. They are gay men.
And I'm like, why? Like, what is... Like, I have never actually watched a 1920s movie.
I don't think Pheromone has either.
But I've just been like, what is your obsession with it then? Like, there are so many better eras.
That weren't racist.
I was about to say, please choose something after segregation. Please choose something after Brown v. Board passed in the Senate. Like, what the fuck? It's just a weird time to be obsessed with.
Do something futuristic.
I know. One of my favorite looks ever...
Like, what do y'all want drag to look like? Instead of rehashing the same fucking ideas.
I loved in season 7 when they did the airline episode and Trixie did, like, the... future airline stewardess, and nobody got it, but it was so smart and, like, actually went with the theme where she was, like, in, like, the 60s and 70s, I am dressed as what the people in the 60s and 70s thought the future of space travel was, and it was, like, the Jetsons, like, kind of thing. That is so fun and smart, and nobody does it. They all just want to be... I just love the 1950s, or, like, cursed Sherry Pie. She literally looked like a fucking 90-year-old woman, and that bitch is, like, 27. Ew. Like, why? What does it stem from? Maybe that is, like, the height of femininity. Is that, like, golden age of cinema of, like, well...
That's true. Women were women back then. I guess that's, like, the most pure woman.
Yeah. Just obedient, but a little bit of feminism. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
You see Chloe and Halle's Tiny Desk?
Not all of it, but I watched most of it.
It was so good.
They're really good.
I was recording.
I know you were.
Mm-hmm. I knew you know.
I knew.
Mm-hmm. We see each other.
We record each other. It's illegal in Georgia.
I don't give a fuck.
To record someone without their consent.
I don't give a fuck about the Constitution.
You know, every state has their own constitution.
Yeah, I took Georgia history.
That's what I learned too.
Yeah.
I wonder, does every state have their own history class like that? Like, if you went to school in, like, South Carolina, would you have to take South Carolina history?
I hope not, because I feel like some states are just boring as shit. Like, what are you going to learn about in Utah history? Mormonism?
Yeah.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Rocks?
I mean, like, I wonder. Maybe the original 13 colonies have it.
A lot of shit went on here, so, yeah.
Because, I mean, like, how could you do, like, I would think if I went to school in Michigan still, like, how the fuck would you do, like, a history of Michigan? Just start when Michigan was founded?
Yeah, it's not that interesting.
I think I would like to take an American history class in the North, because in the South, all of American history is framed around cotton, slavery, and, like, basically that. All American history courses in the South are tied around cotton, slavery, and then, like, the Civil War through that.
I mean, that's a big part of American history.
I agree, but, like, when I took Georgia Studies or whatever, and they were, like, we learned about history, like, through slavery and, like, how that contributed to the rise of the Southern economy and everything. So I wonder if you learn about it in the North, what do they frame it around?
I feel like objectively it was about slavery.
Oh, it definitely was. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll never forget the my freshman year at Augusta University. I had like a young, like, cute, spunky history teacher.
Spunky.
Filled
with spunk. She had
a lot of spunk.
Too much
on her.
Spunk.
So much, just every pore was just spunky. Is oozing out.
That was a spunky woman.
But like the first day she walked in, she's like, I don't know why you all have been lied to, and I'm sorry that you've been lied to so much, but the Civil War was about slavery, and there's no other alternative that is historically accurate or right than the Civil War is about slavery. And then obviously all like the rednecks in the class were like, and I was like, yeah, it was about slavery.
I remember one teacher came in and they were like, the Civil War was about states' rights
to do what?
Yeah,
to do what?
I was gonna finish. She said that. She said states' rights to own slaves.
Exactly.
She was black. She was a queen.
Like, what? Like, even if you say states' rights, they mean it as in, like, they wanted the right to make their own decisions for what happens in their state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that decision was to keep slavery in place. When they brought in, like, state sovereignty or whatever, and then people would, like, vote if they wanted to keep slavery or not, the people voting no would murder and beat the people who, or no, the people voting yes for slavery is a better way to frame the sentence, would like be at that poll, like, and were ready to murder and beat people who wanted to vote no to slavery in this state.
Well, shit,
like, what the fuck. Yeah, the Civil War was about slavery. I just wonder how states in the North frame it. I mean, like, still probably around slavery, but, like, I mean, I literally remember in
Georgia Studies. I bet they just blame the South a lot.
I would. It's their fault.
Yeah.
I do blame the South.
Yeah.
I'm not from here.
I am, and I still blame the South.
You should. That's, like, the biggest thing I don't understand about the South is the attachment to the Confederacy, while still claiming that they're a patriot, because the Confederacy was its own nation.
Yeah.
When they seceded from the Union, You're a traitor. You're literally betraying the United States to go make your own Confederate States of America.
You want to make your own states to violate human rights.
Exactly. So there's no way that you could be pro-American and pro-Confederacy. Not that I love America, but, like, they just hide behind it. And I'm like, no, you're just a fucking redneck racist. Even though racism and Confederate flags exist in the North. And actually, Detroit is a really big hotspot for white nationalist recruiting.
The North is just as racist as the South.
Oh, hell yeah. Michigan was red in the 2016 election. But yeah, I was watching a documentary. It's like 2 years ago. It's called, like, Alt-Right, The Age of Rage. And the guy was in Detroit, Michigan, my hometown, recruiting for his fucking white supremacist, white nationalist, like, cult shit.
I'm so glad he didn't get you.
Yeah, I'm that close to the line.
You're that close to being radicalized.
Yeah.
White nationalists were in your neighborhood and you said no.
Say, only you can prevent white nationalists. Because they spread like forest fires. But yeah, that was crazy. But I mean, it makes sense. Because, like, things like that depend on scapegoats. So, like, obviously there's poor people in Detroit. There's poor white people in Detroit, too.
Of course.
So if another white person comes up to you and is like, you're poor because, like, all of these black people around you are making you poor, and doesn't that make you angry? What if I could give you a place for that anger? And then, boom, you're a white nationalist.
When in reality, you're poor because of capitalism.
Exactly. And you're poor because
of... And racism actually oppresses everyone, but...
And you're poor because of, like, rich white people in power who won't give you a tax break, even though you're poor. But yeah, I mean, that's why cities like that would be a hotspot for recruiting. That documentary was crazy. And she was a woman of color who made it. She was, like, going to, like, these, like, in, like, the heart of, like, talking literally, like, white, like, KKK members. And then she asked one, and she was like, because they were talking to her about their plan to make a white ethno state. And she was like, she was literally like the first non-white person they'd ever talked to. And then he like messaged her a few months later and like said that now that they had like talked, like he feels bad about his plan and he doesn't think that he would kick her out if they made an ethno state.
What?
And I'm like, oh, thank you, like, KKK member, for liking me. Thanks. But it's literally, I mean, like, that's how racism and shit, like, continues. Is like, it is, like, other white people who have never gone outside of, like, their white circles. Like, how can you have gone your whole life and you haven't talked to somebody that's not white? That's crazy.
We were wondering what we could make this podcast about, and I feel like Ethan could talk for hours and hours about racism.
I fucking could. I mean, like, I think that is how you know that racism is so fake and should never exist, because you can go your whole life without ever meeting someone but hate them and their entire race.
Yeah.
And you've never met one of them. You've never met a non-white person and you hate everyone that's not white. That doesn't make sense.
Like, if you made that metaphor with, like, anything else, like food, how does that work?
It doesn't. I hate all pizzas. Have you ever had pizza?
No.
No?
Well, you're a dummy, bitch. You're a dummy.
But I just don't get it. I could talk for hours about racism. White supremacy.
Well, that concludes this episode.
I guess so.
Thanks for listening.
of white guy on white supremacy.
Black guy listens to white guy talk about racism for 15 minutes. Thanks for listening. Bye.